to it before I get there. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. With the Lord's help tonight, I've been excited about preaching this, and I've been nervous about preaching this. The Lord laid this on my heart several weeks ago, and I sat down last week sometime and began to work on this sermon. I usually don't work that far ahead, and the Lord just began to lay things on my heart. Then I thought I wasn't going to preach it for a while, and Wednesday night throughout the service, the Lord just kept impressing on me to go this direction for this service. So I want to preach to you this thought tonight, a time to dance, a time to dance. And let me give you a disclaimer here. We're not a charismatic church, and we don't condone dancing in any other form other than when the Spirit moves on you. So we don't twerk and dab and mash potato or do the twist, all right? Those are from some of y'all's way back era, aren't they? We don't rumba and we don't salsa. Well, we let the Holy Ghost move on us if He wants to. And when I talk about a time to dance tonight, I don't want you to think I'm just speaking of just shouting. I'm really kind of being symbolic about a celebration and a time of rejoicing and a time of expressive worship. And that can come in the form of a dance. It can come in running. It can come in jumping. It can come in crying. It can come in screaming out. But I know one thing for sure, that there is a time to dance. Amen. Let's read it here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. And then in 2 Samuel chapter number 6, verse 12. And it was told King David, saying, "The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. You may be seated tonight. A time to dance. A while ago, I forgot to dismiss the kids to Kids Connection. Sister Smith's taking care of them tonight. So if you'd like to go to Kids Connection, if you're a kid for Kids Connection age, you may proceed that direction. But a while back, I was with my kids, trying to get them to go to bed and go to sleep for the night. And I was scrolling through Facebook on my phone, and a video came across the feed. And obviously, my volume was turned off because it was night, and they were trying to go to sleep, and I was just sitting in there with them. And so I couldn't hear what was happening. All I could do was see what was going on. And that video was some kind of a Hawaiian or Polynesian family were at a wedding reception. And during that wedding reception, the bride was of that lineage. The groom was not. And the men in the bride's family were doing some form of a dance during this bridal shower, or the reception, not shower, excuse me, during this reception. And the dance was really extreme. Those men were, they were getting sweaty. You could tell they were screaming and chanting. They were all in one fluid motion. Several of them, I'm assuming it was all of her family, cousins, brothers, those kinds of things. And she began to weep and to cry at the message they were conveying. And it was obvious that it was some kind of a cultural thing, that they were trying to express themselves in a way that would deliver a message to the bride, as if to say, now we are leaving you in the hands of your groom. And it was a message to the groom, if you don't take care of her, we'll take care of you. They looked like Hawaiian warriors. I would have been afraid to mess with them. But dancing is done to convey a message. It's a way for a man or a woman to express the emotions that they are feeling inside. Expressive dancing often moves a crowd. If you go a little further, there's dancing that it begins to move in the emotions of the other person, begins to move in the thoughts and provokes them to do things that are not right. But for generations, dancing has been a mode of transferring tradition and culture from one generation to the next. Especially in other nations and in other cultures other than ours, dancing tells a history lesson or expresses something that's happened or is happening. It's a ceremonial thing. At a wedding, we don't condone dancing. Now please don't get that from this message tonight. But at a wedding, the bride and her father may share one last dance, and the bride and her husband will share a first dance in order to signify the closing of one chapter and the opening of another. But the enemy has taken dancing and made it into a horrible thing. Okay? We don't believe in going to the dance halls where the enemy is in control. We don't go clubbing. We don't participate in dancing to worldly music or worldly dancing to Christian music. And we as the church don't institute choreographed dancing during our worship. But God instituted in His Word that there is a form of spontaneous worship that comes sometimes in the form of a dance or in some other type of celebration. I have seen it happen in the middle of many church services where somebody will be moved on by the Spirit. And they'll get that look in their face that only comes when heaven touches earth for a few minutes. And they'll begin to express themselves in a dance. I've seen a man by the name of Brother Forrest Lewis growing up in my dad's church, a very small church there. But Brother Forrest Lewis, one of the leaders in the church, he was an old man in his 80s and his 90s. When I was there as a young man, he passed away a few years ago. But he wasn't a very loud person. He would get up and talk to you and testify. But there were some times, he wasn't a singer and he wasn't a preacher, but there were some times when the Lord would begin to move in that little house of worship, and Brother Forrest Lewis would begin to start dancing in the Spirit. Hallelujah. He sat up here kind of where Brother Miguel was sitting earlier, and he would just start dancing on all the way across the front. He'd dance his way up the stairs, up to the platform. I've seen him grab the pastor's hand and dance and shake his hand. I've seen him grab somebody else's hand and do a little jig while he was shaking his hand. I've been there where he grabbed my hand and shook my hand all the while he was doing a dance. Amen. Why? Because he was expressing how good God is in the form of a dance. Y'all looking at me funny, I think. I told my wife this was going to be either good or bad, so just be careful. I've seen some ladies, so the Lord began to move on them. And you know, they were too old hardly to walk in the door. But the Holy Ghost started moving and limbered up those joints and those muscles and those bones. And they would just shake under the power of the Holy Ghost. And they would just move in ways that their bodies weren't able to move just a few minutes before because of arthritis. But the Holy Ghost was getting in on them, praise the Lord, and letting them know, hey, it's time to dance. It's time to worship. It's time to express yourself. Just a few weeks ago, we had our own beloved Sister Ice in the middle of the church house here. The Holy Ghost began to move in this place as we had that group from Refuge begin to sing a song about God's power and His deliverance. And I looked over out of the corner of my eye and I saw her just shaking under the power of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because God for a moment was saying, hey, it's going to be time for you to express yourself under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You know, there might be some in here, you're like, hey, that's not me, I don't do that. And that's okay if that's not you and you don't do that. There's nothing wrong with being quiet in worship. But there are some of you who you moved like that in the power of the Spirit in days gone by. And it's been a while since you've had a reason to shout and a reason to dance. Oh, but the Lord wants me to let you know tonight, He's going to come by and there's going to be a time to dance. Hallelujah. He's going to give you a time to worship. Hallelujah. In an expressive way. God instituted in Psalm 149 verse 3, He said, let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. And let them sing loud upon their beds. Why do we praise Him in the dance? Because He said the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He saves us. Hallelujah. He gives us beauty for ashes. Amen. Psalm 115, you can quote it. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. There's going to come a time where you're just going to push everything aside and you're just going to lift your hands and throw back your head and you're going to let out a shout and a cry and God's going to move on you. Amen. And tell you it's time to dance. Hallelujah. There have been for years a fear, and it's a legitimate concern, of getting labeled as charismatic. The charismatic or liberal worldly church, they've created a stigma around true worship. And those have become a tool in the hands of the enemy. And they made many to err from the truth. But I want to tell you that the Lord said in Ecclesiastes that there is a time to dance. Hallelujah. And it's not going to be a man-made thing. It's not going to be wildfire. It's going to be real. I was reminded of a church down in the area of Dayton. I believe it was in Troy. My uncle pastored that church. And in that church, there were several people who they just wanted to shout at the drop of a hat. And as the old saying goes, they would drop the hat themselves. I mean, they were ready to dance at the very beginning from the get-go. And you know what? Some of them weren't living right. Oh, man. And they didn't have a reason to dance. They weren't right with God. I mean, they had some things wrong in their life. And one of the preachers, a great pastor from that area, was preaching revival there at that church. And just about every night, they were shouting. They were ready to shout and get out. You know what I mean? They were like, hey, you know, if we shout from here, the preacher won't preach and we can get out and we can go do our own thing. But that preacher got up one day and he said, your shout is shallow. And you need to wait. That's what he said, but then he was telling them, you need to wait for the Holy Ghost to move before you move. Because we serve a God that is a God of order. Can I get an amen? But I'm telling you tonight that some of you, your time to dance is on the way. Hallelujah. Your time of shouting, your time of rejoicing is on the way. I listened to a worship leader describe a scene that he witnessed. There was a lady in the congregation, and he wasn't the worship leader that night, so he was kind of sitting in the background. And he was just watching the crowd, and he watched as a lady began to express herself in worship. Just really just getting alone with God, just in a way that just made other people laugh and make fun and just kind of scoff a little bit at her. You know, people will kind of despise you when you begin to move in the Holy Ghost. And they began to laugh and make fun of her. But that man said, the Lord began to speak to his heart and say, they don't even know where her praise is coming from. That's why some people shout in a dance. Hallelujah. That's why some people, man, they just start to run. I remember Brother Shelton at OBI. He said there was a day of the year, or at least whenever he was in service around that day, no matter what, he would get out of his pew and he would run around the church because that was the anniversary of the day that he gave his life to the Lord. And he wanted to let the Lord know and let the devil know that he was still running for God. Amen. That's why he would take his time to do a dance for the Lord and worship God. Hallelujah. Listen to me tonight. There is a season and a purpose. There's a time and there is a time to dance. That word season, it means an appointed occasion. And that word time for every purpose. Purpose means a valuable thing. So what Ecclesiastes tells us, there is value in all of these things that I listed. And there's some negative things there. There's value in death. There's value in plucking up. There's value in destruction, and there's value in crying tears. There's value in letting go of things, and there's even value in war. Why? Because it's a seasonal thing. And after those seasons of negative things come, there's a season and waves of glory that tend to come upon God's people. Amen. Without death, would we value life? I dare say we would not. Without destruction, would we value building up? No, we would not. Without tears, would we value the time of laughter and joy? No. Without letting go, would we value the times of embracing? No. And without war, would we value the time of peace? No. And without our times of mourning, would we value the dance? I say no, but I'm thankful for the season that there is a time for us to rejoice. Hallelujah. Seasons follow other seasons. Some seasons aren't enjoyable. Even in all the enjoyable seasons, there's times of complaining. Some of us like winter, but we get tired of the snow. We like spring, and spring makes us want to have summer because there's too much rain. And then summer comes, and we're like, man, bring us the fall. And fall gets here, and it's beautiful, but we want spring to come back. And it's a cycle, and the seasons come, and they come for a purpose and a reason. And some of you are looking at me like, man, I've been in a season of destruction, in a season of pain, in a season of death, in a season of depression. But let me tell you, I was in the prayer room a little while ago, and I said, God, what do you want me to say? He said, tell him I'm coming. Hallelujah. Tell him I'm coming. There's a reason. There's a time to dance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's coming into your situation. He's coming into your life. He's coming in to help you. Amen. There's going to be times when the Lord comes in and tears some things down. And listen, that's okay. It's hard to watch. And it can really discourage you to see it happen. But one thing I've learned, I'm 31 now, so I'm almost old. And one thing I've learned, that God brings out that destruction for our good. Hallelujah. And when he begins to tear some things off, it's so he can put some things on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And David danced in the time of dancing. You see, David danced because the ark was coming. Let me tell you about the ark real quick here. That ark was something ordained by the Lord. I won't get too detailed and too deep tonight, but that ark was representative of the Spirit of God, and the favor of God, and the presence of God. Resting on the people of Israel. Inside that ark was a bowl of golden manna to say, hey, he's the God that provides. Inside that ark was the Ten Commandments to say, hey, he's a God who shows us which direction we need to take. He's a God of order. He's got it all under control. And there was the rod that budded. That was Aaron's rod to show that God had his hand. Amen. And he could make things live that shouldn't live. Praise the Lord. And so that ark was something valuable to the people of God. But there was a day when Samuel was just a little boy, a young man, that Eli's sons came into the house of God and they took the ark because they assumed that the ark had magical powers. No longer did they focus on the God who ordained the ark, but they focused on the things that the ark had done. And they took that ark and they carried it into battle against the Philistines. And when they did that, God was not in there to bless them. God could not have his hand on that because they were doing it in their flesh. And so the ark was stolen by the enemy and it was out of place for years gone by. Remember, the ark was a piece of furniture that belonged in the Holy of Holies. It was the place where atonement for sin was performed once a year. That ark contained the mercy seat and it was gone. It was ordained by God, yet it was in possession of those who didn't have a right to possess it. It was something. The ark had been carried through the wilderness. It was the item that they carried into the Jordan River and the water separated for the people to cross in and go on dry ground into the promised land. The Ark of the Covenant was actually carried around the walls of Jericho when they came tumbling down, and now it was gone. It was something that they had and held and possessed it. Listen to how valuable the Ark was. When the enemy held it, it caused the enemy problems because they shouldn't have touched it. It made their false idols bow down before it. I mean, God's power rested on that ark. He ordained it and anointed it. And when David said, hey, we got to bring it back. We got to bring it into the city of David. Let's go get it. David said, oh, let's make it easy. See, the ark was supposed to be carried by a certain group of individuals. And they were supposed to bear it on their shoulders and march it in. Oh, but David said, let's just build us a cart. It'll be easier. Men like to take the easy way sometimes, you know. And he didn't look at the instruction manual, I guess. And so he built a cart. And he said, let's just roll it on the cart. And he had some men who were there to kind of make sure it stayed steady. One of those men's name was Uzzah. Uzzah didn't do anything wrong. I mean, I don't believe he meant to do anything wrong. But he did do something wrong. He touched the ark to stabilize it. And he died. Why? Because he was not supposed to touch the ark. It was a valuable, God-ordained piece of furniture that symbolized his presence and his spirit. And so David, when Uzzah died, said, hey, let's leave the ark. We don't need to mess with it right now. Let's regroup, rethink some things. And so they let it go into the house of a man named Obed-Edom. And Obed-Edom loved the ark because he loved the Lord. And he valued that ark. And he took proper care of that ark. And he reverenced that ark. And when he did, the Lord began to bless his home. And God blessed his home so much that David heard, hey, Obed-Edom's house has been blessed. And God is working there. And David said, okay, let's go bring the ark back. Let's bring that ark where it belongs. But this time, let's do it the right way. Let's do it God's way. Let's get the right men to carry it. And let's get that thing and let's bring it on down. And so it was that when they that bear the ark from Obed-Edom's house, that when they bear the ark of the Lord and had gone six paces, David sacrificed oxen and fatlings, and David danced before the Lord with all of his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod, and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of a trumpet. Why did David dance? Why did he make a sacrifice every six paces? Why did he dance? Why did he whirl around in a circle and jump up and down? Listen, it was not tradition for them to do that. It wasn't common practice for the ruler to dance before the ark, but David had come to a place. He was at a new season that was breaking forth, and he said, hey, it's time to dance. Amen. The ark of the Lord has been gone for years. It's time. Notice, though, David had experienced the blessings of the Lord even without the ark. David had killed a lion and a bear. David had been anointed to be king while the ark was gone. David had been lifted up by the crowds for slaying Goliath. David had been moved upon mightily by the Lord to slay the giant. David had an experience of God's help and provision all through his life, through his early reign. But now this was a season that was coming with the ark, and it caused him to worship in the dance. Why? Because he knew that when the ark was going to come, it was going to bring in something special. It's something blessed in some sort of a revival that was going to change the way people began to look at the Lord. All along the way, Saul and his kingdom and his reign, he didn't care about the ark. He left it where it was. He didn't enjoy it. He didn't want it. He didn't want to have any part of it. But David wanted the people to turn back to the Lord the way that they should have been all along. And so the ark was on its way, and he danced before the Lord with all of his might. Hallelujah. 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 You know, it's a scary thing when people who express themselves in worship stop doing it. Listen to me, hear me tonight as a warning to you. I've sat here and watched you. When I lead worship, I watch you. And, man, some of you, you're expressive. And it helps me when I'm leading worship. Don't stop. I need that help. And some of you, you're quiet. But you still lift your hands. And your face says you love Jesus. Please don't stop. That helps me. That helps Pastor. We need that. Hallelujah. But I've watched. I remember I preached a few years ago in youth service. And as I was preaching about the cross, somebody jumped up out of their seat. I've never had it happen to me before or since. But somebody jumped up and started shouting while I was preaching in youth service. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. But I haven't seen them do that in a long time. And I've watched them slowly step back from all worship expression. And it's scary. I've seen some of you, you've danced at the songs about healing and miracles. You've responded during fast, and you've responded during the slow songs. You've responded about the power in the blood, and you've responded when Jesus passed by. Hallelujah. And you've let God move on you. And you may have been here, you may be here tonight, and you're like, man, Brother Cruz, I know that's me, and it's been a while. Let me tell you, your time to dance is coming. Hallelujah. Your time to dance is coming. Why did he do it every six paces? Because David knew with every step that he went, the revival was coming closer to his home. Hallelujah. I believe, Brother Tim, every time he stopped to dance and every time he stopped to sacrifice, that his jumps got higher and his twirling got longer and his sacrifices got bigger and his praises got louder. Why? Because he knew the Spirit of God is about to rest upon my house. The presence of God is about to bring a wave of revival like this place hasn't seen in generations. Amen. Listen, it's not time for us to say the church is dead. What's the use? The young people aren't interested. The old people, they don't seem to care either. What's the use? I'll tell you what's the use. For service after service after service the last few weeks, we've heard the Holy Ghost speak and the Holy Ghost draw men to the altar. We've seen Him work in lives. It might be sporadic and it might not be all inclusive, but I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to come a service in the future when every single one of you, you're going to be standing up and shouting and crying and worshiping, and the lost are going to come in and get saved. Why? Because God is working. And that season of mourning, and that season of depression, it'll come to an end. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's time to dance. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. David's wife watched him from the window. What an idiot. He shouldn't be doing that. He's the king. Why is he making a fool of himself? I'll tell you why. Because he knew what it meant. He knew what it meant to have the Spirit of God and the anointing of the Lord. David was the king, and God had moved on him time and time again. And David wanted every single person in his reign to feel that same spirit, and to feel that same presence, and to feel that same urgency, and to feel that same level of intense worship. And so he wanted to be the leader. Amen. And he knew who he was worshiping, and that he was worthy. Let me tell you, in the midst of a test, in the midst of a battle, God will give us those paces when we stop and worship. We won't be out of the woods, and we won't be out of the valley. But even in the midst of that, you can still have a time of dancing. You can still have a time of worship and a time of shouting. That's why on Sunday morning and Sunday night, the last 3 weeks, the Holy Ghost has spoken to us to give us a reason to believe, hallelujah, that revival will come. That the prophecies of years gone past about Broadway Assembly, they didn't fall on deaf ears. And that God didn't make a promise he couldn't keep. Rather, he's just paying on it and paying on it until one day that promise comes in full force. Hallelujah. And it's going to be time for the church to dance. Glory to God. Let me tell you, I'm going to illustrate this to you with my life, okay? My wife's life. Stephen told me one time never to apologize when I talk to you about our ordeal with her stroke. And I'm not going to apologize to you. I talk about it a lot, but it's because it's real and relevant. All right, let me tell you something. The night that Katie went to Kansas University Hospital, she got flown from Joplin, Missouri, to Kansas in a helicopter. That was the worst night of my life. I wasn't with her when she got into Kansas University. It took me 3 or 4 hours to get there from Joplin. And I got to the hospital. My brother-in-law dropped me off. We were all confused, didn't know what was going on. I was just kind of trying to feel my way through the darkest moments of our lives. And I got to that hospital and I was all alone. They went to a hotel to get some sleep. It was about 3 or 4 in the morning. I got in there. They let me go into the ICU for like 5 minutes to see her, make sure she was okay. She's hooked up to all these tubes and all these cords. And I didn't know what was going to happen to her. She couldn't move her right arm. She couldn't walk. And she could not express herself in talking. She was paralyzed. 20 years old. Expecting Hannah, our first baby. There we were in the ICU, just a few minutes. That's all I had with her, and they made me leave. And I remember going to that waiting room, and nobody was there. And I laid out across 3 chairs, and I just pulled my jacket over my face, and I wept. Until I fell asleep, I wept. And that was a time of mourning. And it was a time of weeping. I got up 7 a.m. I called into the ICU from the phone that was by the door. I said, "Can I see my wife?" And they said, "No, you can't. It's not time yet." 15 minutes later, "Can I see my wife?" "No, you can't. It's not time yet." 7:45, "Can I come in and see my wife?" "No, you can't. It's not time yet." Finally, around 8 a.m., they let me in, and I got to go in there and see her. There she was, just laying in that bed, lifeless. That's scary. But I'll tell you something. For years and years and years, the recovery took its time. And there was a lot of times of weeping and a lot of times of mourning. But God always seemed to bring a time to dance. Hallelujah. Right in the middle of that test, Sister Vanita. A few days after getting into the hospital, they moved her out of ICU. And she started to try to walk and she started to try to communicate. She could move her right leg and kind of stand a little bit on it. And it began to look good. And the prognosis began to be she might get her feeling back. It was a sign of getting the mobility back. Praise the Lord. And that was one of those paces, Brother Miguel, where we just stopped and we danced before the Lord and we worshiped. And then a few nights later, a lady came in from the hospital and she was from a local church. Now the church she was from is a crazy charismatic church. I mean, they have an affiliate close by. Now if I mention the name, you'd say, yeah, you're right. They are crazy over there. But I believe this lady was genuine and concerned and full of faith. And she said, my church is going to be praying for you. Praise the Lord. And then she came in a few days later, and it was kind of comical because she was wanting to sing some hymns with her boyfriend or her dude that was with her. And they started singing, and I think Katie wanted to laugh. She couldn't control her laughter at that time. And so she would just burst into laughter. She sometimes still can't control it. But that lady was giving us a reason to be encouraged. And God was thinking of us. And God was sending people our way to remind us He's got His hand in this. And even though we weren't out of the woods, that was a time to stop and a time to dance and a time to worship. God, Your promise is on the way. We know it is. You're reminding us You are the healer. We know You've got it under control. And then there was an evening when Katie and I were in that room all by ourselves. And there she was lying in the bed and the lights were turned down and she was trying to rest. And we were listening to Brother Taylor preach on the CD player, one of his most famous sermons. It's called Heaven Knows. If you ever get a chance to listen to it, it'll bless your heart. But he was talking about how heaven knows where you are. And during that tape, during that service, the Holy Ghost began to fall. On the tape, the Holy Ghost was falling in the real church service in real time. But right about that time, the Holy Ghost fell in our room. Amen. And that was one of those six paces, amen, where it was time to dance and rejoice and to give God some praise. Why? Because we knew the promise was coming down, hallelujah, the road, and it was on the way. And then one night, we were there. Katie asked me, she said, in her own way, you know, she couldn't communicate very well. Excuse me. She would call me Dad and she would call me Mom and she would call me Leslie. And one time she called me Lord but finally she communicated to me, I want you to sing No One Can Touch You Like Jesus Can. And I began to sing that song. Listen, she's sick and we're discouraged. We're out there all by ourselves. Family had already come and gone and they needed to get back to their lives. They wanted to be there, but their jobs and stuff couldn't keep them there. And so we were there, but the Holy Ghost was there. Amen. Letting us know, yes, I can touch you and I can heal you. And that was one of those times, even though it was troublesome and hard, God was giving us a time to dance. Listen, all along this storyline, if you could have been there, you'd see there were times that we dropped really low. There were times when Katie had to go back to ICU. There was once she got a blood infection and she had to get a blood transfusion. There were days when she could do nothing but sleep, and when she woke up, she would throw up, and things were really, really bad. But there were also times when God would give us a reason to celebrate and to worship, because He pointed us to the promise that was on the horizon. She was sent to the rehab unit. And in that unit, you go in with the score. My video gamers will know. And like sports games on video games, you get like a rating per player. And so players with a lower rating aren't as good as players with a higher rating. And usually the ratings go up to 99. She went into that rehab unit with a rating that was fairly low. But they got her in there within just a few days. They rescored her. And they gave her a rating that was about 35 points higher. And those nurses And those doctors, they said, man, we're so amazed. We've never seen somebody jump this quick and get this much better in that short amount of time. Why? Because God was giving us another reason to hope. And it was another pace to stop and to dance and to shout. Amen. And then there was one evening we decided that we would leave the rehab unit and go out and go to church on a Sunday night there in Kansas City. The Johnston family, they've been here before. You know them. They'll be here in a couple months. But they would always come and visit us at the hospital and bring us food. And we went there to their church one Sunday night. You know, Katie didn't walk in. She didn't jump out of her wheelchair. She wasn't able to sing out loud, really. And she wasn't able to testify. But during that service, the Holy Ghost began to move. Amen. And in her wheelchair, she began to worship. And the Holy Ghost began to speak through her. Hallelujah. And she began to speak in tongues. Why? Because God was giving us a reason to dance. Hallelujah. And listen, tonight you're like, Brother Cruz, I've been in a case of mourning. I've been in a place of depression. Every so often I feel the Spirit of God and I get encouraged. But it seems like I just go right back down. I come up and go back down. Listen, God is going to tell you there's going to be a time. It's on the horizon. And you're going to come out of that area where you've been depressed and you've been lacking faith. And He's going to give you a shout like you never have before. Revival's on the way. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and begin to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 David's dance, it was not just an emotional exclamation. It was an act of worship in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The true dance in the spirit is more than just a form. It's godliness and it's power. It's an act of true worship that comes from the things that God has done for you, the things that God is doing in you, and the things that you know that God is about to do. Hallelujah. And listen, God's speaking to your heart right now, and He's telling you it's time to dance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My job tonight is not to get you into a frenzy. I'm not that kind of a preacher. But God wanted me to remind you. And you know, some of our young men, you've been involved in some great services. And you felt the Spirit of God. And it's been a while since you've acted that way. Since you've ran. Or since you jumped. And you're sitting there, you're like, man, I've done some things since the last time. I made some mistakes and I messed up. You know what? David made some mistakes, and he messed up. But the Lord always turned it around when he went to with a heart of repentance and gave him another time to dance. So some of you young men, I want you to listen to me. All you young men out there, I don't know what in the world you're going through. But God wants me to tell you, He's going to bring a spirit, amen, on you again. He's going to give you a blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You just got to be ready to receive it. Stand with me all across this house tonight. Sister Katie, come please. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Respond. It's up to you right now. Respond. Hallelujah. Get out of your seat and respond to the Lord. Lay aside the doubt. Do what the Holy Ghost said. Just give it up to Him right now. Respond to Him. Hallelujah. All around the altars right now, it's open. Come, find you a place to pray. Oh God, here I am, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, hallelujah. He said He'll work it out. He's going to bring it out for your good. He does all things well. Hallelujah. 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 Bring it to Him right now and just leave it in His hands. Bring it to Him right now and just leave it in His hands. Weeping, it will endure for a night. That's a promise. But there's a promise that the joy will come in the morning. And those of you, you've been weeping a long time. Just come up here and grab a hold of what the Lord has promised us tonight. The garment of praise. The oil of joy. Beauty for ashes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Begin to cry out to Him tonight. Lord, I need You. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Do it, Lord. Do it right now, God, we pray. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. While you're praying, don't fight back the tears and don't fight back what the Holy Ghost wants to do in your life right now. You just let your heart be open completely to Him. Put yourself completely in God's hands right now and let Him move on you in the way that He desires to move on you. Let Him move on you. Hallelujah. And while you're just letting Him have His way, just worship Him. Hallelujah. If your heart isn't right with God tonight, right now, make it right with Him. Just come to Him with all the things, the wrong things. Just rely on the Lord tonight. Lean on Him tonight. Lean on Him tonight. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He hears us right now. He's ready. He's ready to move in your life. Lord, I'm here.
The miracle promised by my Father is waiting in the water. Every step I take is a step of faith. When I can't see what's in front of me, I'll walk on and just believe.